Boy, the last few minutes, we got a bunch. Glad to see you. I think most of you know, and some of you don't, that Wanda and I have traveled this United States from one end to the other. Did you know that? When our sawmill burned down and I retired early, and even before we retired, we made it our goal to go to every national park in the United States. And we got a big chunk of them. And I'm going to kind of tell a story here about our travels. And there's a point to this story. I know you didn't come here to hear me tell about us traveling all over the United States. But just wait a while. There is a point to me telling these stories. And Wanda doesn't know it, but I am really going to embarrass her. I want to kind of relate to you that we went on these trips. There was a huge amount of planning taking place. Basically, to begin with, I went and told Wanda, I said, where are we going and when are we leaving? And she would take weeks and weeks and weeks to plan this trip. And she did that to all of them. Now, I had a different role, and I'll get to that role in just a minute. But she would get on the computer, say we're heading to Grand Canyon. She would get on the computer, and we always camped in tents or pop-up camper or pull-behind camper. And so she would get on the computer. She would list every night that we were going to stay, where we were going to stay, and have it all planned out. She knew how many. She'd go on Google's and she'd put down, we're going to travel this many miles today. We're going to go from here. We're going to stop at this place, have that camping spot booked all the way to the Grand Canyon, to California, or whatever it was. And then not only would she do this, but she planned out our meals. We never ate out of restaurants. We always cooked our own meals and things like that. And she had that trip planned down, and she would sit for weeks and plan that trip. Now, you're saying, well, if she did all that, what did you do? Well, mine was a little bit different. I would go out and I would check the tires on the truck and on the camper, make sure they're aired up. I would try to anticipate any problems that we might have. I would get maybe an extra propane tank for the camper, and I would throw in an extra tire. We even carried wood with us. And we knew it was going to be cold. We'd have a campfire out by there. So I'm telling you all that to say we planned. Now, maybe yours is not camping. Maybe yours is a fishing trip. Maybe it's a hunting trip to out west. Maybe it's a car show. But you had to plan, didn't you? And if you didn't, maybe you had problems. Now, I tell you, you're going to get excited about this next trip I'm going to tell you about. Wanda and I are planning to go to heaven. Now, I told you all of that to say, if we planned that much for a trip to Grand Canyon or anywhere else, shouldn't we be planning to go to heaven? And it takes some planning, doesn't it? You don't just accidentally get up one day and say, I think I'm going to go to heaven. There's got to be some planning to take care of there. Are you prepared for that trip? And that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to examine. And I'm pointing this lesson to you. And you know who I mean. I'm pointing this lesson to Christians. If you're not a Christian, that's okay. Listen, and you're probably going to learn something too. But I want you to take this morning, and I want you to listen, and I want you to determine, have I done enough planning to go to heaven? So there, here we're going to take off here in just a minute. In times past or right now, have you ever questioned your salvation? If you would die tomorrow, right now in your mind, do you think you would go to heaven? Now, a lot of people, when they ask that question, they say, have I done enough good to go to heaven? Now, remember that picture about Lady Liberty standing there with the blindfold on, and she has these scales in her hand, and over here are all the bad things you've done. Over here are all the good things you've done. And a lot of people have the idea that if they knew enough good things, that scale's going to tip over this way. That's not really the way Christianity works. Now, to a certain degree, it does. I'm not eliminating that. But you cannot do enough good to deserve to go to heaven. Now, you think about that statement. If you're outside of Christ, I know you can't do enough good to go to heaven. You might say, well, Christianity stuff, I don't, that's just not my cup of tea, but I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to take part in community activities. I'm going to volunteer for this, and that's all good. I'm not saying that's not good, but you can't do enough good to deserve to go to heaven. Now, we've all known a lot of good people, and that's great. But you're going to have to do something else. And that's what we're going to take a look at here in just a minute. I'm going to, in Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read a verse in there. And she's going to have it up there on the board if I told her right. Luke 18, and through those verses, says, a ruler asked him, Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth. Now, this guy, young ruler, he didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus was good enough, but he didn't know it. But Jesus was making a point to this young ruler. The important thing for you is to follow God's commands. That's what he was emphasizing to him there. And he was basically along that same idea. You can't be good enough. You can't be good enough to inherit eternal life. You know, before I became a Christian, I had that idea. I'm a good person. God is not going to punish a good person. Punishment is reserved for bad people. And that idea was in my mind that there again, you can't just be good enough to go to heaven. Are you in a safe relationship with God? Okay, that's that same question that I asked you all ago. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Are you in that safe relationship with God right now? We're going to go through a checklist here, and I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you believe in God? Now, we went clear back and we started clear at the top, didn't we? Well, I know you do. You wouldn't be here today. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the God? Now, is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference. You can believe, I had an acquaintance that I worked with one time, and he was getting married, and he was marrying a Hawaiian girl that was a Buddhist, and he made the statement, well, I'm going to convert to her religion. What difference does it make? We all worship the same God. Well, now just think about that for a minute. Well, you know, if we all worship the same God, that sounded good. But if you don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you believe in Allah, where are you going to go for your information? What kind of law are you going to live by? You're going to live by that law. We have to go to the Bible, and we have to look to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have to go to the Bible, go down through the Bible, and study the Bible. And that is the law we're going to have to follow, not the Quran. So it does make a difference on what God that you believe in. But anyway, there's other gods. There's Allah. There's Muhammad, the servant of God, under those. And there's all kind of religions and idols and so forth. Okay, checklist. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Okay. We got that one down, don't we? Okay. Check. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Now we're gonna go on down to some other questions. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I said that. Now I'm gonna, in Acts chapter 4, I'm just gonna quote this one, but I think Kathy has this one up. It says in Acts chapter 4, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Boy, you get up and you make that kind of statement on the news or in public or somewhere, and you get a lot of people angry. Why, you mean so-and-so? But that's it, isn't it? If you do not believe Jesus is the Son of God, you are lost. Now, just think about that. You're going to have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Okay, that's a biggie, isn't it? And I know you do, but we're just running down this checklist now. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Have you properly obeyed God's plan of salvation? Okay. Now, I'm using that word we and I kind of loosely. I know who you are, and I know that you understand this. Have you followed that plan? Have you heard the word? Have you believed the word? Have you confessed Jesus and confessed that you're a sinner? Have you repented? Have you been baptized? Now, that's a completely another lesson, isn't it? We could preach several lessons. We could preach four or five or six. Okay. Boy, we're doing good, aren't we? Believe in God, believe in Jesus, accept Jesus as your Savior. And you have obeyed that plan that's outlined in the Bible. And there's a lot of different teachings on that, isn't it? If you pray this prayer and this and that and the other, and, you know, this is not important, that's not important. So there's different teachings on that. But we're going to move on from that. Okay, doing good again. I know you've got this one down pat, haven't you? Are you attempting to live a good moral life according to God's word? Well, you know, Christians, they go to the Bible, and there are certain things that we are told to do, and there are certain things that we're told not to do. And I could list all of those, and there's no reason to tell you that. Are you attempting to live a good moral life? Are you avoiding sinful relationships that would keep you out of heaven? Okay, check. Now we're going to go down that list a little bit more. Do you faithfully attend the worship services of the church? Do you pray and you sing and take communion and that? Now, we know that's important. We're going to stress it just a little bit more. And here in just a minute, we're going to take a look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Some people say yes to Jesus and no to the church. And you know why they do that? They look out here at all these religious organizations, and they see a conflict here, and this group teaches this group this thing, and they are so confused. They say, "Well, I don't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. They've got me all confused." But I say yes to Jesus. Now, it's good that they said yes to Jesus, but here's the problem. If you don't bind yourself or make you part of the church, do you worship? People have said, "Well, I can worship God out in nature. I can go out on the fishing bank and I can just I can pray out there and I can do everything I need to do out there and I don't need the church." Do you? Do you ever see anybody that said that? Said, "Boy, I go out on the swing set, or I go out fishing and I pray and I sing and I take communion," and there's no organization to that. Now, that's good that they did that. Okay, where is that person going to learn? Where does learning take place? Well, I study my Bible at home. Do they? Probably not. You have a problem in life, and crisis comes. Where do you go for help and support? We're going to support each other, aren't we? That's what the church is for. It is going to be really difficult for you to live a Christian life if you don't have the support of the church and other Christians. And we know the church is not this building. You're the church. I'm the church. And we support each other. And in this next verse here in Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to take a look at some of that things that you have an advantage in the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Okay. "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering," talking to Christians. "For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up." To good works. "Not neglecting meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day approaching." Hey, that's what the church does. That's what you do. We support each other. We help each other. even after you become a Christian, have you sinned? Why, yes. We as Christians are human beings. We're not perfect. Like Jesus said to the young ruler, there's no one good except God, and of course Jesus too. We are not perfect people, and we do commit sin. Now, I hope we, and I'm going to put in this word, do you occasionally sin? You know, when you're listening to all the people that get up and lead in prayer, what most of the time, what do you hear at the end of that prayer? Lord, forgive me for my shortcomings, my sins, and so forth. Christian sin. Man, I thought Christians were people that don't sin. Well, I hope we don't sin big time. But we are imperfect people and we sin. Do you pray for forgiveness? Yes, we're taught that. Now, I think sometimes we think, well, before you become a Christian and when you become a Christian, God forgives you of your sins. And boy, that is true. When you become a Christian and you come up out of that water of baptism, you are forgiven of every sin you committed in your past. But do you know, after you become a Christian, you're not a perfect person and you're going to commit sins. Do you know that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from those sins also? But a little different process. We don't get baptized every time we sin. We pray to God. And in this law of liberty of ours, we don't have a priest to go to. Who's our high priest? Jesus is. So Jesus will forgive us of our sins. We do sin. And that's the point I want you to really understand. First John chapter 1. Verse 7. Behold, I am writing to you a new commandment. But an old commandment that you from the... Okay, let me get my... First John. First, yep, I'm in the right spot. Chapter 1. Okay, here we go. This is the message that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, in him and no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus the Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. He's talking to Christians. So, Christians sin, occasionally sin, hope they're not bad sins, but Jesus will forgive Christians of their sins. Okay, we had that checklist going. Believe in God, believe Jesus, Son of God, accepted Jesus as our Savior, but we know that as human beings, we do sin. We can go to God in prayer through Jesus. And he's gonna forgive us of those sins. Okay, I didn't finish all my reading there. Chapter 2 in 1 John. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, my little children, that's Christians, isn't it? You may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, or one who stands with God at God's side and pleads for us. He is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Okay, there we go again. We can be forgiven. Okay. If you sin, do you ask God to forgive you of your sins? If you actually repent. Now, you can't just come along and say, I'm just going to go do all the sin I want to, and then I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and then I'm going to go out the next day or the next week, and I'm just going to commit all. Doesn't work that way. When it says repent, the word repent means you're sorry for your sins, and you're not planning to do them again. So, okay, got the checklist going. Well, there are good things. I said a while ago that our sins, that we couldn't do enough to inherit the kingdom of heaven on our own. We know it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to do that. I've heard in the past, in the old times, preachers say there's sins of omission and there's sins of commission. That simply says, now there are good things that you have to do in Jesus Christ. And you know that. I'm not saying that within the Christian life there's not things that you should be doing. Well, a lot of those things. Convert other people. Visit the sick. Do all those things to support each other in times of trouble, in times of heartache and all that. And if you don't do those things, James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, to him that knoweth to do good what is right and does not do it, to him it is sin. As a Christian, you just can't sit down and say, I'm not going to do anything. Well, by not doing anything, you have sinned in God's sight. To him that knoweth. There's good things for us to do. And you're going to do your best. I tell you what, I look to the Bible, I look to the Apostle Paul. Oh my goodness. What a man. There's no way I could have done the things that the Apostle Paul did. And you know that full story. And then I come along and I compare myself. What am I doing? What am I doing? Well, you don't have to do everything that the Apostle Paul did. In your little corner of the world, you do the best you can. And the best you can, God will accept the best that you can do. Is it possible for a Christian to lose their salvation? Now, there's a question that you go into some denominations and they say, no, you cannot lose your salvation. There's nothing to do. Once you become a Christian and you are forgiven of your sins, there is nothing that can separate you from Jesus Christ, not even you. Boy, wouldn't that be a comforting teaching, that I can just become a Christian and there's nothing that will separate me from Jesus Christ. Well, not true. You can lose your salvation. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read a verse. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2. And it's verse 20. Oh, I'm in 1 Peter. See, it's hard for me to think and look up verses in the Bible at the same time. But I'm going to get there. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. Okay, got it. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. The true proverb says, what has happened to them, the dogs return to their vomit, the sow after washing herself returns to the wallow. That he is talking to Christians. He says, after they have known Jesus Christ. So it is possible to lose your salvation. Now, I've got a Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of the judgment and the fury of fire that will consume the adversary. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? Christian. But there's one different thing between what we were talking about, Christian sin, occasionally ask God for forgiveness, and completely deserting Christianity. If you completely desert, you've become a Christian. And some say, you can't lose your Christianity. Well, we just read two verses right there that says that you can. But that picture is of someone who completely deserts Christ. They say, hey, that Christianity that I become a part of is a bunch of nonsense. I'm quitting, I'm deserting Christ, I'm going out into the world, and I'm going to live my life the way that I want to. You're in trouble there. It says there's no forgiveness of that sin if you continue in that sin. But you haven't done that, have you? You may have sinned and committed some sin, and I say occasionally sin. Hope it's not a big sin, but you're going to go and you're going to ask God, God, I was foolish. I committed a sin. Please forgive me of this sin. You haven't deserted Christ, have you? You've asked forgiveness for that sin. So, we're still in good shape, aren't we? Can you be confident in your salvation? You're going to ask yourself that question today. Okay, let's go through that list again. You know that there's a God. You recognize the proper God. You're going to follow God's word, which is the Bible he gave to us for by inspiration. Check. You got that one down. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? You become a Christian, all of your past sins have been forgiven. Check. You're still in good shape. Have you properly obeyed the plan of salvation? I am really confident, and I say we, you know what I mean. I am really confident that we understand the plan of salvation. So, check. We're good there. Have you attempted to live a good moral life outlined in God's Word? Well, if you're a Christian, you're working at it, aren't you? You're attempting to live that good life according to God's Word. Do you continually ask God for forgiveness of those occasional sins that you've committed? Yeah, you do. I'm confident of that. You're sitting there right now and you're adding all this stuff up in your mind. Have you totally forsaken God and turned back into the world? No. You haven't done that. You've committed some sins, hopefully not really bad sins, and occasionally you sin. But you haven't forsaken Christ. There is forgiveness of a Christian's sins if you turn to God in the name of Jesus and ask for forgiveness of sin. Almost every prayer, or most of them that we have here, you hear the person leading in that prayer, God, forgive me of my sins. And sometimes we want to kind of make it a little softer. Forgive me of my failings. That sounds a little better, doesn't it? So, hey, we're doing good, aren't we? Do you attend the services of the church whenever possible? Now, I know that there are times that people can't come to church. But are you working at it? Jesus died for the church. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ. We are the church. And so the church is important. It's important for you to come to church. It's important for us to all help each other, to encourage each other. In times of sickness, in times of disaster, we got one today, haven't we? David Cross. And it doesn't sound good for David. Sounds like David has given up. Now, don't count him out. He's come back a lot of times. But these are the times that you turn to the church and you turn to help each other and encourage one another. Okay, if you went through that checklist and you said yes, be confident. You have done all you have to do to go to heaven. Not because of good deeds, but because Jesus' blood washes away your sins. Well, I'm through. And from where I'm sitting, I think you all passed. So be confident in your salvation. If you run on to one of those little points we got. Yeah, Wanda said you're talking too long. Boy, I did, didn't I? 5 minutes to 12. Now, today, if there is someone that needs the prayers of the church, or you haven't become a Christian, then now it's the time to do it as we stand and sing.